Mindfulness is not just for meditating, it's for dating too. And in this episode, you will learn 3 mindfulness practices that will open your eyes, open your mind, and open up your dating life to new possibilities. So stay tuned to the Deeper Dating Podcast to learn more.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page, and today I'm going to share with you a few mindfulness practices that can have a profound impact on your entire dating life. This week and every week, I'll share the greatest tools I know with you to help you find beautiful, sustainable love and to keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process. Because the skills of dating are nothing more than the skills of love, and the skills of love are the greatest skills of all for a happy life. And if you want to learn more about this path and this approach, please just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com, and you can learn about my upcoming intensive and classes, and you can also join my mailing list and receive the first 2 chapters of my best-selling book, Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy, which was excerpted by Oprah and was an Amazon bestseller. You can also get a transcript of this entire episode if you go there. Also, everything I share in this podcast is educational in nature. It's not psychiatric or medical advice or treatment of any kind. And if you're experiencing any serious psychological conditions, please seek professional help. And finally, if you like what you're hearing here, I would so appreciate it if you could subscribe and leave me a review. I've gotten such beautiful reviews and they just mean so much to me. So thank you for that. And let's jump in. The search for a loving partner is one of our greatest life tasks. But so much dating advice, as we know, is just gratingly superficial, and it focuses endlessly on the power of seduction and tight glutes and abs and fake confidence. So I'm going to offer you today in this podcast 3 exercises that will approach dating as an adventure of self-discovery. And every one of them is going to be eye-opening, and they can be kind of fun, and they're going to help you grow in self-respect while opening up new possibilities in your dating life. And I'll just share a little bit of my story and how I learned these exercises. So at a certain point in my life, I had gotten particularly sick of my failure-ridden dating life. And I started asking friends and therapists for help. I knew I needed it. I had kind of hit bottom with my incredible lack of success in finding love. And I really wanted to find love. And I just felt that whatever it was you needed to be able to seduce people and be attractive enough, I lacked. There was like some it that I lacked. And that was a very, very depressing thought. At a certain point, though, I realized I needed help. Like what I was thinking couldn't have been totally true. And I had a really good friend, and he was really skilled at bringing humanity into his dating life, all the ups and downs and craziness of it. And I really respected him for that. And I asked him to start taking me on dating field trips. And the tools that I learned from him and from a wonderful therapist that I went to see had a huge impact on me. And mindfulness, compassion, and kindness. Who knew that those were the things that were going to help you with successful dating? Though those were certainly not any of the things I learned. But I was really happy to hear that, in fact, they have everything to do with successful dating. So, for these exercises, and I describe these in greater detail in my book, Deeper Dating, I really, really encourage you to enlist the help of a friend. Best of all would be a learning partner, a dating buddy, somebody who is also doing this process, is also single, and who'll kind of support you in taking these mindfulness dating field trips. Maybe go with you, and afterwards you could have coffee, and even if you're not in the same city, you can meet together and just discuss what worked, what didn't work, and laugh about it and complain about it and just have that wonderful kind of camaraderie that we really need around dating. But if you don't have someone to do that with, or you just prefer to do it alone and you can't be convinced, and I understand that, I did a lot of these alone, then just do this and bring a journal or some paper or pen with you so that afterwards you could sit in a coffee shop or go somewhere and just reflect a little bit. Okay, so the first exercise is just simply to notice your patterns. So the next time you go to a party, a bar, a club, a gathering, wherever there are single people, just try this exercise. So this is part one. Part one, I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. Is change nothing in what you do? Just notice your behavior and notice your feelings. Notice your patterns. Who do you talk to? Who do you avoid? And do you approach people you're interested in, or do you wait for them to approach you? Do you only approach people you're super attracted to, or do you stay away from those people? Do you avoid the whole dating thing completely? What do you do? It's such a fascinating thing to look at the kind of pockets of semi-safety we create for ourselves. Do you drink a lot? And here's another rich question. How are you different when you're with someone you're attracted to? And what parts of your enthusiasm and your heart and your authenticity do you tend to suppress in the presence of those people? That's a huge question. So there are no wrong answers. This is just a process of noticing your behaviors and noticing kind of the flow of your feelings. That's it. That's all you need to do for part one. Afterwards, just do a postmortem with your learning partner or with yourself, and just kind of notice what you saw in terms of your patterns. And if you're sharing it with someone, you can each share with each other and not critique each other, not evaluate, but just understand, identify. We're not fixing anything yet. We are just looking. And let me tell you, looking and seeing our patterns is a way brave act. Okay, so here's part B of this process. Now, pick one small change that you would like to experiment with in your next outing. But make it small. Don't make it huge or vast. Make it small, but worthy. Maybe you chose that you were going to drink less. Or maybe if you're always the aggressor, you might practice being less action-oriented. There are countless possibilities for small shifts in behavior. Just choose one that interests you and make sure that the change you're trying for is one that you pretty much think you could stretch toward. And even a slight change, which is why we're going to go for something small here, is going to open up new insights, and it'll give you a kind of liberating sense of possibility. So here's an example. Jill decided to try this exercise at a birthday party where she'd be the guest of a friend. And that friend happened to be her learning partner. And she knew she would only know a few people there. So here are some of the things that she noticed when she did step one. She said she felt really shy when she arrived, and her learning partner was coordinating the event, so she was really on her own. And she said she went straight to the food and the drink table. And she felt kind of embarrassed to be alone and kind of like she was standing out like a sore thumb. She knew that wasn't true, but that is how she felt. And I think all of us can really relate to that. Then she found another woman who was standing alone. So she smiled at her and they started to talk. And they had some interesting professional connections. She noticed, too, that there were a few guys that she wanted to meet, but she did not know how. And she kept kind of thinking of ways to meet them, but didn't go through with any of them. And then she left the party, feeling pleased that she made a new friend and kind of mildly depressed or disappointed that she hadn't met any guys. And she realized upon reflection that this was a pattern. She avoided the risk of interacting with guys who might be single and available. She knew she was super social and she could have a good time, but she realized that she was actually really avoiding her growing edge. And she was kind of disappointed in that. So she set a new goal for herself and she shared it with her learning partner. The next time she was going to make a plan to meet her learning partner in the middle of the party, whenever that next party was. They were just going to connect together somehow during the middle of the party, and she would be obligated to point out one or two guys that she was interested in. And if she knew them, if her friend knew them, she'd help make an introduction. And her friend is a real estate agent, so she knows lots and lots of people. And if she didn't know them, the two of them would talk together about how to get Jill to actually talk to that person. And Jill was really happy with this because it was hard, it was scary, but she knew that there would be a sense of aliveness, adventure, and growth, and she had the support of a friend. Okay, so that is exercise number one. So now exercise two is to do this. It's to plan a second trip, hopefully with the support or even the company of your learning partner, or if not, someone that you tell in advance. This is called bookending. Someone you tell in advance, this is my goal. I'm going to do my best to do it. And when this is over, I'm going to report to you on how we did, on how I did. Because we need this kind of help. We really, really all do. So that's what you do. You plan a second trip, and it's a trip to make the shift you described. And you notice how that feels and how it leaves you feeling. And then you bookend it. After you do it, you describe what it was like. So Jill did it. She went to the party and she happily avoided any of the guys that she was interested in. And in the middle of the party, she met her learning partner. And her learning partner and her talked about who she was interested in. There was one person she was particularly interested in, and her learning partner did not know that guy. So they strategized about what they were going to do to have Jill meet this person. They came up with a plan, which was that the two of them were going to approach this guy together. But it turns out, and this happens so often once we kind of activate our intentions, someone else came into the picture who was very interested in this and knew that guy. So she was able to introduce Jill to this guy. So it wasn't a match. Jill found the guy kind of really self-absorbed and she was not really interested in him, although they had an okay conversation. But that was it. Jill was psyched because she did something new. She did something brave. She felt kind of exhilarated and she had learned something. So when we keep doing these practices, we build a muscle of bravery. We build a muscle of courage. We feel more alive. We feel more invigorated. And we experience this grueling dating process as somewhat more of an adventure. So now we've done the step. We've done the first exercise, which is noticing our patterns. We've done the second exercise, which was setting an intention for something new, following through, and then doing a postmortem and sharing about it. Now, exercise three. This is bravery, and this is a scary one, but I really encourage you not to skip it. This time, you're going to go somewhere and commit to approaching one person who is attractive to you, and you're going to do it sober. And you're going to approach that person with warmth and authenticity. If you want to up the ante, do it with two or three people. I did this process once and I did it with six people. I was rejected by six people serially at a club. But I didn't feel bad. I actually felt incredibly proud because I had achieved my goal. Rejection was not so much a factor here as bravery and courage. So try one, maybe two or three if you want. See if you can make eye contact and smile before walking up to the person. And then if they don't notice you, and you don't think you're going to have another opportunity to get eye contact, you could simply go up to them anyway. And that might be deliciously scary, or it might be terrifying. So if you don't feel ready for that part of the exercise, modify it to something easier. Like even just finding out if any of your friends know this person and might introduce you at a later time. But if you can do this exercise, you're going to feel pumped when you're done, even if your interest wasn't reciprocated. And remember, your goal in this exercise is not to get an expression of interest, although that's nice. It is to build your all-important muscle of dating bravery and bringing consciousness and mindfulness and skill to this process. And really, really, it does get easier. When I used to run deeper dating events, there was a section where people had to do this. They had to go up to people they didn't know. And the rule was always the same. They would give their phone number. This was a long time ago. They would just give their phone number on a piece of paper, and the other person had to accept it. They didn't have to contact the person, but they couldn't say no. They had to say thank you. And they had to take a moment and just kind of inwardly appreciate this person's interest in them. They didn't have to contact the person once again. But this is how people developed this muscle of bravery. And they would come back to future deeper dating events and say, I did it. I was on a bus. I was in a subway. I was on the street. And I actually smiled at somebody. And then we talked. And I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't practiced this kind of muscle-building bravery practice. Another thing that you can do is go with your learning partner and do it together and just connect throughout the night or afternoon to catch each other up and share war stories. And afterwards, maybe go celebrate. Now, I want to say in terms of venue, the more it is a venue for people who share your values, the better you will do. So I just want to say that you will have more success, more fun, and much more chance of finding and building something if you do it at an event for people who share your values, whatever those are, volunteer work or hiking or meditation or music, anything, dance, whatever it is. And so, as with any area of our lives, bringing more mindfulness and compassion to the way that you date will almost always open new doors. And as you deepen your insights about your dating life, you will find that the kind of people you meet and date actually begins to change in surprising, hopeful ways. So please try these exercises and share them with us by going to deeperdatingpodcast.com and then clicking on Ask Ken, and you can actually record your experiences with these exercises. So enjoy tackling your dating life as a journey of growth and discovery. And again, if you like what you heard here, please do subscribe and give me a positive review, because that is much appreciated. And I look so forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast. Thank you.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.